Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're continuing on with the message that we did the other day. All of these messages have how to have God's life living in you. This is part 108. And then also this is program 210. Have your pencil and paper ready. At the end of the program, we're going to give you four different ways on how you can receive a copy of either a CD or a tape copy. It's free. And the postage and handling is free as well. Right now we'll go to the throne and, Lord, anoint this service. Cause it to make everyone leave their ideas buried at the cross. And cause it to raise them up in the Spirit so that they finally, after all this time, become born of the Spirit. Christians rather than people that walk around with their own made out of dirt brain minds that they're thinking, when you've already told us what your mind is and that we're to put it on and forget any of our own thoughts. Lord, we ask it that the souls in the world will be saved and the church will finally be raised up by the Spirit to finally begin doing a job in the world that your idea is, and you told us that we must do if we wish to enter the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, we have some letters here. Where's the first one from?
From West Bengal, India. Dear Pastor, I am inspired and motivated by your Holy Spirit fiery messages, especially Earthquake and Pearl Harbor, which are authentic and touching. I do translate these books in our national language, Hindi, and preach it, which motivates most lost souls. I am trying hard to translate your book, The Messiah, which reveals the true God. Definitely I am poor, but I believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will fulfill our purpose further to strengthen your ministry as a co-worker.
It's our ministry. It's the Lord's ministry, okay? I don't like it when people call it my ministry. It's the Lord's ministry that all of us together corporately are doing. Amen?
Amen.
And if we corporately do it together, then we will corporately receive the benefits, the blessings of the Lord. All right, then what?
I want your support and all kind of resources, which is needed urgently as time is running short to deliver all poor souls in India. Thank you, Ron John from West Bengal, India.
Okay, then what?
Next one's from Edo State, Nigeria. Dear Pastor Tony Ulamo, my greetings to you, and I thank God for the Tony Ulamo Christian Ministries. The pastor and the ministry has been a blessing to my life through the literature, magazines, and Bible. I used to be a sinner. I received and read the literature and magazine of Pastor Tony Ulamo. That was when I knew life is not just what I thought it is. I want to say thank you, Pastor. Today I am so proud and glad I am a born-again Christian. I really appreciate the ministry. I gave my daddy some of the literature books, and he received and read it, and he confessed that it's a great ministry and has made an impact in his life and a blessing to his life. I told my dad that I want to work for Pastor Tony Ulamo Ministries to have an extension of the ministry here in Nigeria, and he promises to render a support, and I will need the support of Tony Ulamo Ministries. I want some literature, books, Bibles, and T-shirts. Thank you, Pastor. May the Almighty God continue to lavish His love upon you. From Nosa, Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord called us to, because He wants to live in us and to further extend His kingdom from heaven into this world. And that's what we're doing. Now we're going to have Sharon come over here, and we're going to continue the message that we did yesterday. All right, now where were we at?
The thinking process is called a precept.
Okay, I was mentioning that, and I'm going to further it, that everything that we see in this world today was in an idea first, then a concept, then it became a vision or a reality so that we can see it. And there are many things in this world that we cannot see. It's the unseen world around us. But the Word of God causes us to be able to spiritually see the things that are around us. People, if you forget the word of God, the Lord will destroy you, tear you to pieces, he says. And so he tells us that there are legions of angels around us. He tells us that Satan is on attack like a roaring lion. But if we keep his commandments, then he's our defense. He has an army. This army is headed by the Lord, the host of the army of God, the kingdom of heaven, the host. And we have to believe those things, otherwise we're going to lose our confidence to be able to go forward doing the things that the Lord commands us to do. So many people fall short of the mark because they don't have faith in what God says, but they have their own preconceived ideas. People in this world get used to doing things on their own. I was one of those do-it-yourself kids. If I would dream up a song, every song had to be thought by somebody. I had a real, I can write songs if I wanted to, if I had time to. I can do so many other things. I can do all things in Christ Jesus, but I prefer to do as the Lord says, to live by his Spirit. And that's what I do. I don't have any preconceived ideas any longer, that I died at the cross with Christ, and there, when I died, the Lord resurrected my spirit to do the things that he in me wants to do. And so therefore I have no ulterior motives whatsoever. If anyone is condemning me or anything that I do, that's on them, because I don't do anything. It's the Lord God in me that's doing all these things. So some people may be jealous because of the incredible mail that I get, but these things that they're commending me for were not done by me. I would never do things like this before I was a Christian. Only when Christ came into me, any good thing that I do, the Apostle Paul says, is not I doing it, but it's the Lord's Spirit within me that's doing it. And so if anyone has anything against that or anything that I'm saying, then you are fighting or making war with God. And I can tell you with all assuredness that you will not win. You will be destroyed. This is the word of God. All right, so we're going to... Now, all these ideas, the Lord has already told us what his idea is, and he wants us to live by his idea. He says, put on the mind of Christ. And then the Bible goes on to tell us that Christ is God. God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, came into the world in a man named Jesus. So he saw the Son of God was in him. The Father was in him, and the Holy Spirit. So you've got the whole Godhead in him. He is the fullness of the Godhead in a human body. So Jesus is God. And so he lived according to what he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit laid down as what we must do in this world as human beings that he created. We didn't create him, he created us. And we're to do those things if we want to enter his society here on earth and stay in it throughout eternity. Anyone deviating from that with their own ideas are insane. Are you a fool because you don't believe the word of God is God? And therefore you should be under conviction. Hopefully you're under conviction, but if you just sit there, you know, taking all this in and not considering what I say, what the Lord is saying in me and through me. So it's not my work, it's the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
If it were my work, then it wouldn't be the work of the Lord. If you're a part of the work of the Lord, then you're doing what he says. But if you're fighting me, you're not fighting me, you're fighting God, because God put me in charge here, and he is speaking through me. And so you're fighting, you don't maybe like the way I look. Maybe you don't like the way I comb my hair. And if I was bald, you don't like bald heads. Amen? or if I just have stubble there, you don't like stubble. Or if you don't like the age I am, well, then, you know, I'm not going to listen to what you say because you don't look like John Travolta. Well, I'm glad I don't look like John Travolta. How do you like that, okay? And I don't like the way you look either, okay? But that doesn't mean that I cannot keep the commandments of the Lord, right?
Right.
I must keep the commandments of the Lord or I'm going to go to hell. And if it was somebody like I didn't like the idea that God, at first in this ministry, put a woman over me because I thought that all women, you know, forgive me, ladies, but before I was saved, I thought every woman was a pig and that everybody needs a house pig to live with them in order to, you know, wash your clothes and iron them and fix some food if you trust them. The ones I was with before I was saved, I didn't trust their cooking ability, so I always ate at restaurants. But at any rate, so I would just pick and choose the things that I wanted them to do. But the Lord put Susie over me. He said, listen to her. Then later on in the ministry, I was listening to her, and she was saying things that were contrary to the Word of God, like she didn't want to witness and testify anymore because people in the church were saying, well, I hear what you're saying about God, but I believe, and my idea is, or I think, or I thought, and she got tired of people saying that because she could see that they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in God's Word. And just like a lot of the people in the, you know, every church, they destroy the testimony of the Lord. And the pastors, some of them get very discouraged, but I never have yet. I am not discouraged. And what I do is I discourage people that are around me from doing things like that. I mean, I just set them outside the church. Thank God. I don't have to take that sort of thing. I can just put them out because I'm in charge. God put me here. You didn't vote me in. Nobody in this church voted me in. You didn't call me into the ministry. God did. And God is the one that's talking through me. And so it must be the truth what I'm saying. Otherwise, you think that I am that clever to be able to bring messages such as this. And I'm really not that clever because I never believed in God before the Lord gave me supernatural experiences. And He did give me the supernatural experiences. And He did move into me. And He does speak through me. And He does tell me things to do and what not to do. And I don't like people that say, well, I think, I thought, because you are supposed to be dead with Christ at the cross. Your thoughts are supposed to be dead then. The Bible commands you to put on the mind of Christ. Now, what's the matter with you? I can tell that Satan's speaking right out of your mouth. You're a devil. Or you're possessed by the devil. You're a possession of his. Because I'm telling you what God says and you're telling me something else. So obviously you don't like the way I look, and I sure don't like the way you look. You're like a stench in the nose, smoke in the nose, a broken ankle, somebody that can't obey the Lord, and so therefore you're not an asset to the church, to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven cannot be brought forth by you because you don't believe in the Lord's ideas. You believe in your own ideas. You believe in your loved ones rather than the Lord's loved ones. That's your family, the ones that you believe in. The Lord was asked, who is his family? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? He says, those that serve the Lord. Those that don't serve the Lord are not my family. Why? Because God told me they're not. I don't have any preconceived ideas about that. I have no ideas that can supersede the things that the Lord says. Okay? Now, you may say, well, my mother, my father, I can go to them if I get kicked out of the church. That already shows me that you're not of the Lord because you won't humble yourself. You won't pick up the cross. You won't allow yourself to be crucified. You're all flesh. You're carnal. Your thoughts are carnal. You're carnal. You're chaff to be burned by the Lord. This is what he says. Okay, now let's read.
To put it truthfully and simply, the precept is an original idea. Therefore, in order to understand the original concept, you must have a clear grasp of the precept of the sender or the message. The heart of understanding is precepts and concepts.
Right. Now, if you understand what the Lord is saying, then do it, because all of his ways are judgment, as I said in yesterday's tape. And he's going to judge you whether you do what he says or if you're going to just think about it. You who have never done any worthy thing in the world anyone can see. I've been internationally known for many things in the world. And yet, they will never get myself into the kingdom of heaven. And I don't have the kind, I'm not puffed up like you are. You've never died, that's the problem with you. And you don't want to die. You want to, keep projecting your nothingness into the church and into the world. And no one believes you. Nobody cares about you. People, you can hear that they care about me because it's not me. They think it's me because they hear my voice. But it's the Spirit of the Lord that they love. Nobody loves an ungodly person. They use you, but they don't love you. You're not loved. You may get some gratification from somebody out in the world. And you may get kicks out of coming against the work of the Lord. But what profit is in that? Your kicks. Okay, then what?
Error is a product and a result of what is called misconception.
Yeah, you're misconceiving what the Lord says, or you don't trust. A lack of faith. You're saved by faith, and you're damned if you don't believe. Because usually, well, you're damned by doubt. It's like a rhyme to you. You're saved by faith, damned by doubt. But you don't ponder that. If you disagree with those that have the rule on this earth, you're damned. Because that's not my idea, it's the Lord's. If you don't listen to the words the Lord is saying through a yielded vessel unto the Lord, then you're damned. There's nothing short of that. Or does it say, well, if you don't like the way he looks, Paul, to his people, said that he was disgusting to look at. I have no idea what he looked at. I like to think of him as a handsome type person. But he said he was revolting and disgusting to look at. And some people, you know, the Bible states that we're to be well-groomed. They say, well, I'd rather be like John the Baptist, somebody that's not well-groomed, and go up. But that's John the Baptist's ministry. You're not to take a ministry of somebody else and make it your ministry. You're to allow the Lord to live out his life in you, and the Lord wants people to be well-groomed, or you're not. You shouldn't be out on the street. We've got people out there that they've got yellow and green teeth, and some of them are missing in the front. Instead of coming, asking, I didn't even know it. I walked into a couple of them the other day, and they were smiling at me, and they want to keep going out on the streets witnessing. They are shabbily dressed. They know that if they ask for anything, clothing, or to get their teeth fixed, I would do it. But it was revolting to me to look at the man's face. It looked like a rat's teeth, and they were yellow and orange, or burnt sienna, brown, and the breath was overpoweringly. I mean, I had to stand back a couple of feet. But he keeps wanting to go witnessing every day. And another one, the same thing. All of his back teeth are missing, and gives him the illusion of a rat's teeth. And they're very skinny, both of them. So skinny, they look like they're just walked out of a concentration camp over in Auschwitz. That they've been, and they don't even look like they've been rescued yet. Okay? So I'm talking about a couple of Mr. Williams and also Waddles. Get your teeth fixed. Brush them. take mouthwash, be well groomed, comb your hair, and dress up, and wear new shoes, because you're not a witness to anybody, not especially on the streets. And then there's no females that want to come to the church, because when you're witnessing to them, they get frightened and they don't want to get in the car, the van with you. Okay? We have vans, and they say, well, you want to come to church? And they think, does everybody in the church look like you, smell like you, dress like you? No, we don't want to. Sorry. And some of them are so afraid to witness to females. Now, there's one thing to look at a female and witness and testify to her, and another one to lust after them. I mean, you can look at, you know, some people just duck down, you know, and they hide their face. That shows me that they must be full of lust or something. But to look at a person, I look at people all day long, and I never hide myself with a shawl over my head. I mean, what kind of a testimony would that be? If somebody did that to me, I'd think, boy, they must really think I'm handsome, or that I must be causing such lust in them or something to make them be so afraid to even look at me. I have to either think that, or I think that they must think I'm the devil or something, and they don't want to look at me because they're afraid of that. Neither one of them are true. It's just that you're filled full of lust, okay? And that's not okay, so don't do that anymore. If you're full of lust, stay in the house if you can't face the public. But it's no sin for me to witness to a female. But I make sure, you know, before I go on the street, or males, and I make sure my teeth are brushed and I've got mouthwash, and I dress up decently, that I'm not shabby. I comb my hair and make sure my shoes are shined or whatever, and you have to do the same. Grooming is very important. All right, and then next, that's part of being a witness for the Lord. Okay, then what?
Error is a product and a result of what is called misconception. It's an abortion.
Yeah, so Waddles and Williams, you're not John the Baptist, okay? And if you are, then let's see you start eating grasshoppers and honey only. Don't go to the chow hall. Okay, what else?
In reality, the receiver misunderstood the concept of the sender, or they believed that the sender was not capable of a good concept or precept.
Yeah, in other words, if you're not doing what the Lord says, then you figure he's not capable of laying down the best way to have a society. You don't think his society is correct. You have to obey your husbands in all things if they're of the Lord. In all things. Your own husband. Not somebody else's husband. Then what?
So if I do not successfully convey and transfer my precepts, concepts, and ideas and thoughts to you, you're not going to receive what I say.
Right. So all I'm doing is conveying the thoughts and precepts and concepts of the Lord. And if you don't listen to what I say, then you're not his friend. You don't love him because you don't listen to what he says. And then if you don't listen to what he says, and you don't believe I'm of the Lord and that it's really the Lord speaking through me, then what are you doing listening to me for? Go listen to somebody that's of the Lord. Pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. Okay, then what?
There are many people in this church that don't have good receivers. So I'd like to continue.
Oh, in every church in the world, everybody has that problem in churches. Because if it's a true church of the Lord, there's going to be a lot of devils there. Because Satan's already got the other ones. You know, these satanic churches, they all dress really nice. They got good grooming and everything. Like, you know, and other churches that are just very good counterfeits. They really stress grooming because they know that they cannot attract anybody into a church looking like a rat or with yellow and burnt sienna looking teeth. Or no teeth in the front. I mean, teeth in the front and skinny, so emaciated that you don't think they won't think that the people in this church get fed. And you're the only two that's out there, you know, representing the church. And so they figure that this is the concentration camp church. You're not to go out witnessing because you people make a true church of the Lord appear to be not of the Lord. And then these churches that are not of the Lord, they look spick and span. I mean, they're really... You take the church, I'm not saying that it's, I'm not going to bring a derogatory thing, but one of the most admirable looking churches as grooming is concerned is the Mormons, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, they call themselves. I mean, they're spick and span. They're excellent in business. They have huge choirs. They attract women and men, and the place is just loaded full of people. But you people are a turnoff. And then when people come to the church, they just see, you know, everyone thinks, a lot of people think that they're John the Baptist or Mary Magdalene or somebody. I don't know what your stories are. You know, you have to listen to what the Lord says. Do everything in decency and in order. Amen?
Amen.
And then you're slothful. You leave dirty dishes and the place is trashed out. The church at Fort Smith, Arkansas, there were reports that came in the other day, and I had to, they said it's just trashed out, the sanctuary. And the older, quote, Christians go home early and leave baby Christians to take care of the guests. Not of the Lord. The elders are supposed to be the example. And the place was trashed out, so I had to put everybody on a fast until the church was cleaned. When you put people in this church on a fast, I tell you, you get things done really fast. When you get it all done, then you can eat. Boom. It's done faster than, it's like a bolt of lightning coming out of the sky. Okay, keep going.
So I'd like to continue on with the critical concepts that lead to the answer to man's search for meaning. In world history, we see that in every generation since the beginning of time, the dream of a utopian society is motivated and sustained in the passion of human beings, mankind, producing highly developed cultures and social systems as they moved forward in this pipe dream, this pursuit.
This is a perception that they have of what a society should be. And I've been to many societies in my life. I've lived in Canada, I've lived in Mexico, I've lived in Israel, and London, and Paris, France, and Nice, France, and I've been in Belgium, and I noticed in Germany, I've noticed the people there all have, they're like the same people. They all have these preconceived ideas, and they all want to have a happy society. None of them want war. It's just a handful of people here on the earth that want war. I mean, they're greedy, and everything about the system that they have is like money. It's Satan's system today. But there's a lot of societies that think that they're doing good, and they're trying the best they can, but it isn't the society of the Lord. And that's one thing. They just keep trying to develop a system of their own that can be mightier and more powerful and more sensible than God's society, that he's already pre-planned and told us how to have it. Okay, then go ahead.
The driving
force... you can't have God's society unless the Spirit of God's living in you. You're not a part of that society. Not unless the Word of God abides in you. If his Word abides in you and you abide in him, then whatsoever you ask according to his will be given to you. And that's by faith. Faith in the Spirit. The Word of God is spirit and life. To receive what the Lord communicates to us. Then what?
The driving force and desire for the perfect world finds its way into every civilization and has been the source of inspiration that has led to the invention of philosophical ideas and social infrastructures, and even religions are having some kind of impact on our contemporary community. This force is centralized in man.
So we have a contemporary community, but we don't need a contemporary community. We need God's community.
Amen.
All right, and there are a few of us in the world that have that. Very few are going to enter the kingdom of God because they want to develop their own society. They have their own ideas, concepts, their own inventions. Then what?
This force is centralized in man's search for the ideal society. Passion for the ideal society produced in many ancient cultures. The dream of the messianic vision. This is the belief that somewhere in some distant future, from some unknown place, a person would come who would provide the answer to all our problems.
Yeah, this is the Jews thinking that there's going to be a messianic era of time when Messiah will come and cause peace and safety on the earth and will destroy all the other kingdoms, the evil ones that are trying to develop their own thought, putting their own thoughts into action. And all these thoughts are cruel and evil and wicked. No justice, judgment, equity, nothing like that. But the Lord's kingdom has got justice, judgment, equity, and is all righteousness. Everything is right. Then what?
He would establish the ideal world or society free from pain, hatred, fear, poverty, and other social wrong thinkings or ills. This would be a world of peace, love, joy, and harmony among all mankind.
A utopia. Okay, then what?
This search and desire for an ideal world is a source of development of the concept called ideology. Ideology is the most powerful energy that has impacted the lives of people over thousands of years and continues its effects to this very day.
Right, it's their ideology. It's powerful to them. It's just like everyone today believes that if we think of Jesus condemns homosexuality and so therefore and lesbianism and fornicators and adulterers and everything, so they got to get rid of that because they figure everyone is one of these beings, fornicators, adulterers, and if we can just get rid of the Bible, then there's nobody going to be condemned. And so this society totally hates anyone that tells what God's ideology is, or his concept of a utopian society is. Then go ahead.
Ideology is the formulation of ideas and thoughts that have been pondered, developed, refined, defined, and formalized. These ideas are also defined as a philosophy or a way of thinking. Some of these formalized ideas have produced schools of thought which become the foundation of theocratical and ideological premises for the creation of systems of government. The human world, the different communities, the different societies, the cities, nations, and the world. So there's a negative side to all this. And on the negative side, some of these ideologies have been the source of injustice, destruction, oppression, mentality, depression, and social terror as we see today. These ideologies have carried a variety of labels, and over thousands of years they have emerged, submerged, and then reemerged in succeeding generations.
See, because they don't like our idea of smashing different countries and bombing them and destroying and killing millions of people. They don't like that, and so this causes them to, they haven't got enough money to attack us like we attack them because we're the only power that has all these weapons of mass destruction. So they strike back with terrorism because they don't like a big bully like this society of ours in the United States has. But they don't realize that it's a world society and that the world society is just using the United States as its enforcement agency. They're using our manpower, and at the same time, they're trying to destroy our manpower so that there's nothing remaining but, most of the men are gone now. They're blowing them up, and they're not, Satan has been loosed on the face of this earth, and he knows that his time is short, and he has developed a society that gives him license to use the United States Armed Forces to go as his satanic army to destroy people and cause everyone in the world to hate us. But I direct everybody to Rome because why? Because it's God's idea, his knowledge that tells me that it is Rome, the Vatican, that is causing these things to happen in the world today. The society is Roman society. They've always been cruel. They are exceedingly wicked because it's Satan in them. It's the corporate body of Satan. Then what?
His ideologies have carried a variety of labels. Some of the labels are quite familiar, even in our generation. Imperialism, socialism, communism, dictatorship, democracy, humanism, Satanism, one world order, monarchy, and communal living. Many of these have been tried, revived, integrated, revived, and have been the source of many social experiments. Yet, no matter how much man has tried to recreate this world, his world, the fulfillment of his hope and desire for utopia, it still runs away from him or eludes him. Our most recent attempts have led to the event of the ideology of individual freedom and free thinking, and the supposed to be admirable concept of self-determination and a just society, which all of us have termed in our modern civilization as the democratic idea, despite the fact that this, to most people, seems to be the most civil form of national government, but it's a facade. It doesn't have anything to do with being civil. It is not anything that anybody that has any brains would consider to be a utopia or socially acceptable society. Good relations within a society has not manifested the utopia its founders supposedly dreamed of, because democracy is nothing more than a dictatorship. If we are to believe the Bible, then we have to believe that there is a God and there is a Satan. God came into the world in the flesh to show us, without any shadow of doubt, the society that the Lord wants to convey to the society that we have today.
God to the world on a whole. Okay, it's not just the society, any society. It's the world that he wants us to convey his society to. Then what?
We see that the society today, according to the Word of God, is an anti-God society. The kind of society that I spoke of earlier is a society that can only be achieved by doing what God says. I see even in my own church that there are people that I continuously convey to them that the way that this ideal society is accomplished is to let God convey his concepts, which are all true and all right, into the minds of people who say they are listening to the concepts, the ideas, the most powerful ideas, concepts, realities, visions that have been written in the entire world. Jesus came into the world to convey these to us. If you are listening, you will receive them. If you are not a listener, then you'll doubt them. I see a constant weak and beggarly power in the church that has their own ideas on how to make this world run. Many of them, I don't believe, are aware that they're alive. They like to sit around and preconceive and use thoughts. They constantly say they thought this was right after they are caught with attempting to convey their inferior ideas to the society that the Lord has set up, to the ones that are obeying. There's always a few followers in every society that go against the society that God has developed and has conveyed to us. Others try to motivate, give inspiration to a person of another civil society within the society of the Lord.
Right, there's this evil society in the world today, but we're not allowed to use bombs, bullets, guns, tanks, airplanes, rockets, or anything like that. But our weapon is the Word of God, and we have to convey that to them in hopes that they'll see that their society is not working, and they can see that ours is. Ours is the society of the Lord from the Bible. We have to do what the Bible says. Otherwise, and it's not going to happen to these this evil society. Maybe some people will come out of it. I see some of them coming out, but on the whole, it's Satan's society, and God is going to destroy it, he said. They will not receive what he says. So he's going to have to destroy the world. All right, then with fire, before, of course, he destroyed the world with water, with flood. Then what?
The Antichrist has put this democratic idea in their minds, this concept of freedom to do whatever you please.
Right.
Freedom.
Well, in other words, you're set free, they say, and yet you're in more bondage now than this world has been in for many decades. Now, I mean, the freedoms are taken away. You're not set free at all by them. You're set free when you accept Christ, free to do his will. But if you begin being fearful of the society of Satan or the Antichrist society, well, then you'll be in hell in the lake of fire. Or he says, all the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Then what?
Freedom, not carrying the cross or denying themselves and following the word of God.
They want you to have freedom to do whatever you want, but the Lord says, no, you have to discipline yourself, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, to be disciplined by the word. You don't like the word. It doesn't feel good to not be able to be free to just do anything you want in the world. You don't want to deny yourself. Everybody wants whatever they want, and they want it now. They want to do what they got to do according to their feelings. There's all kinds of feelings. People have feelings that they want to murder somebody. People have feelings that they want to destroy somebody, that they want to betray them. These are feelings. People have feelings of love, and the next day they have feelings of hate. We can't. They have feelings of homosexuality, lesbianism. They have feelings that they want to commit adultery. Something entices them. They have feelings and want to do these things. Feelings. These kooky, crazy feelings that people have. But we're not to have those feelings. We're to go forward with the Word of God. We're to climb the mountain. And we have feelings of tiring and laying in bed, but we can't go by these feelings. We have to get up and work and pick up the cross, our cross, daily, denying ourselves and following Christ. Letting Christ live out his life in us and through us. Then what?
Freedom, not carrying the cross or denying themselves and following the word of God, but freedom to dream up ideas that are so inferior to that of the Lord that they must be called demonic, devilish. They're pursuing personal freedom in this world.
Personal freedom. But the Lord gives us freedom to get into the kingdom of heaven by being in his disciplined body. If you're undisciplined, you don't fit in his body. You don't fit in his kingdom. Oh, my God, you mean to say that I can't have my feelings any longer and cater to them? One day you feel like eating rhubarb. The next day you feel like eating, something else, pork. The next day you want to eat every day you have I don't know what to eat today. Lord says to eat whatever is convenient. Now continue on.
They're pursuing personal freedom in this world is the strongest motivation in the entire world.
Yes, because it's a worldly motivation. They're motivated by feelings rather than the word of God, which is spirit and life. They're motivated by death. All those that hate God's word or his are not motivated by it, love death and hell and the lake of fire. But you won't love it when you're there. And what else?
As a matter of fact, recently these Mexicans are desiring to migrate to this social consciousness and move into our world. This desire to be free to pursue one's personal dreams and to maximize one's potential is the foundation of Satan. They call it today democratic ideology and is embraced as the ultimate standard of a free society. However, the societies and communities that had attempted to use this supposed to be noble freedom experiments are still plagued with the inconsistencies of inequality, racism, prejudice.
Yeah, do we have a utopian society today?
No.
Are we free now and we don't have any worries?
No.
No, people are scared to death. They're taking drugs, narcotics, booze. They're getting into every kind of thing to get their mind off of that they might blow up any minute. That's what this society is. And the Vatican, using us as a clubbing or a bludgeoning force against all nations, are making, we're bringing it upon ourselves to listen to that devil in Rome. We all become, not me or anyone that's really of the Lord, but they've become a society of devils. And their Lord, the devil, wants to destroy them before there's an opportunity for them to hear this word, where they'll surrender their lives unto the Lord and accept him in his ways. He wants to kill you while you're still unsaved. Some people say, well, if I get saved, then God will kill. No, he won't. He'll use you to bring about, to further his kingdom of heaven here on earth, to extend it to the world, the earth. Okay, then what?
The societies and communities that had attempted to use this supposed to be noble freedom experiments are still plagued with the inconsistencies of inequality, racism, prejudice, injustice, corruption, jealousies, suspicions, competitions, abuse, neglect, and a clear disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Right. There's a few haves, then they don't want anyone else to be the haves. They want them to be have-not. As I said the other day, the majority of the society is living on $10,700 a year. These other people squander $1 million an hour in the casinos, and they don't care anything about you whatsoever. Go ahead.
This supposed to be ideal society that they call democracy is the Antichrist society, and most of the people in churches have taken what they claim to be Christians, but they've never, ever submitted themselves to the society of the Lord. The bottom line is that almost all mankind has become imprisoned by their pursuit of freedom. They want to live in a church and call themselves Christians, but they don't want to submit to authority.
They don't want the authority of God's word. That doesn't even enter their mind. Then what?
They don't want to submit to God's law of walking in the word, the spirit of the Lord. They're in the church, which the Lord says his will is to do the Father's will, and yet their will is not at all for this to happen.
This will is not at all their will. And the Lord says to follow him. In other words, do what I do. Let your will be that of the Father. Then what?
They must constantly be reproved. They must constantly be embarrassed, and some of them are not bright enough to even know when they're being embarrassed. They don't have any embarrassment because you can throw them in a corner with the Word of God and they still come out fighting with their desire of freedom to be able to do anything that they want to do in God's society.
And in front of everybody in the God's society. Not ashamed at all. Then what?
When God gives us the Holy Spirit who sets us free, but not to do our own freedom, but to walk in freedom in the Holy Spirit, which enables us to keep the commandments of the Lord and walk on the straight and narrow to be able to enter the kingdom of God. So I've taken the sacred gift from my house and have given it to the foreigners and the people who are supposed to be Levites, orphans, and widows, just as the Lord God has commanded me.
Yeah, the sacred gift that the Lord has given me is his word, his salvation. I know that if I keep his word that I'm saved because I'm living according to this precious gift that he's given me, his word. Okay, then what?
I have not violated or forgotten any of the Lord's commandments. I have not eaten of any of it while in mourning. I have not touched it while I was ceremonially unclean. I have not offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God and have done everything that he has commanded me to do. Lord Jesus, look down from your holy dwelling, place in heaven, and bless your people that are in your society. Bless your people, Israel, and the land that you have given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as you solemnly promised our ancestors. There is a call to obey the Lord's commandments. Today the Lord your God has commanded you to obey all these laws and regulations. In the New Testament, the Lord has called you to walk in the Spirit and to obey those that
the
have...
The Spirit meaning the Word. And what?
and to obey those that have the rule over you. And there's a satanic spirit that is seducing you. The Lord said in the last days that there would be seducing spirits to cause you to not go forward with the Lord, but to go backward. But you must commit yourselves to the Spirit of God without reservation. You have declared today that the Lord is your God. You say this, but do you mean it? Those of you who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior have promised to obey His laws, His moral laws, and to walk in the Spirit, resurrected into a new life that the Lord, by entering you, has given you to keep His commands and regulations by walking in His Spirit and doing everything He tells you. The Lord has declared, and He does that every day, that these are His people that walk in the Spirit, His own special treasure, just as He promised, and that you must obey all His commands. And if you do, He will make you greater than any other nation, any other society. Then and then only will you receive praise, honor, and renown. You will be a nation that is holy to the Lord your God, just as He promised. But if you won't, the word of God, God promises that you'll be cursed with a cursing. There have been many people who have left the church and have come back. One recently is bitten with thousands of ant bites and many other things. We're going to read his testimony.
And some other message. Then what else?
In the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, the Lord is talking about the altar of Mount Ebal. Chapter 27, verse 1 states, quote, "Then Moses and the leaders of Israel, not any one of the people of the congregation, but Moses, the leader, and the other leaders of Israel, charged the people as follows. Keep all these commandments that I am giving you today. Verse 2, when you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God has given you."
And that's what we do when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. We enter into His kingdom. And if you want to stay there, you have to walk in the laws of His kingdom. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then what? The law, the Word of God. Then what?
"When you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God has given you, set up some large stones, coat them with plaster. Verse 3, then write all the terms of this law on them. I repeat, you will soon cross the river to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. Verse 4, when you cross the Jordan, set these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster as I am commanding you today. Verse 5, then build an altar there to the Lord your God using natural stones. Do not shape the stones. Verse 6, then shalt..."
I just had said at the end of this message that you didn't type in there. So the rest of you just go ahead and read chapter 27. But go ahead and read 6, but you've got some time.
Okay. Verse 6.
Yeah.
"Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Verse 7. And thou shalt offer peace..."
Okay. Now what you're supposed to do is we are the offerings. We're to sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. God did. And he sent his Son, which had the fullness of God in him. And now we're to sacrifice ourselves, lay ourselves. We're just stones, dead stones, as a burnt offering. Our lives, that way we were living them before the Lord, amounted to nothing. There isn't anything that you did that is of any value. There isn't anything that you could do to possibly impress God. The only thing you can do is give yourself as a living sacrifice. This is acceptable unto the Lord God. And that's the only thing that's acceptable, is to die out to your theories, your feelings, your thoughts, your ideas, your precepts, your concepts. And the Lord has beautiful, wonderful, excellent, the finest in the universe of thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
So put on the mind of Christ. Put on Christ now. You can accept him into your heart. I see my time is up. Invite him into your heart now so that you can be a member of the greatest society that could ever be. The only society that's going to stand forever. You do that. You can do that right now. Be a part of the society by accepting Christ into your heart. Just say unto the Lord God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I come to you now, Lord. I ask you to take all my filthy sins away. Wash them away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will wash all my filthy former sins away in your precious blood. And even in the future, you'll wash away sins that are sins that I didn't know I was sinning. Well, I know the moral law and what it says. But there's things that we say to people that are wrong. We may not be good representatives in the house of God. And Lord, sins of ignorance you will forgive, but not sins that are knowingly sinning. God will not wash them away in the future or today either. Only the sins that you come to him with from the past and up to this date are washed away and never remembered against me again. They're all drowned in the sea of your forgetfulness, Lord, and I thank and praise you for it because I've been a wicked sinner. Your word says that you won't turn anyone away that calls upon you. Therefore, I'm calling upon you, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive me for all the sins that caused you to have to go to the cross and to spend 3 days and three nights in hell. I thank you, Lord, for conquering death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, and the world. And I want that powerful spirit of yours living in me, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, Lord, I thank you for hearing me, and I thank you for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands, and because you know you're saved now, because it's the Word of God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And here's Sharon to tell you 4 ways that you can receive a copy of this program. Program number 210 is free of charge. Even postage and handling is taken care of. Please specify if you want a CD or a tape copy, audio tape. Tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, until tomorrow, this is World Pastor saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Tune in tomorrow.